I'd like you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 18 and someone read verse 20 for me. That's right. I am your portion. I am your part and your portion among the children of Israel. And so in Psalm 73 it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire than thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. God is the strength of my life and my portion forever, in verse 26. One thing we fail sometimes to realize is that God has different purposes for many different people. And for us, He's given us an inheritance that's really quite interesting. The Lord says you won't inherit structures, you won't inherit lands, you won't inherit things like other kingdoms and other nations and other kings, but that I will be your inheritance. You see, we have put a great deal of importance on church, and we don't realize that the importance that God has put before us is Himself in church, and that our inheritance is the Lord Himself. That is why so many of our messages point toward Him. That is why so much of what we do has to do with Him in praise and worship. We worship Him until our spirit is engaged in truthfulness. And that is because He is the center. He has made Himself the center. And God has so many plans for so many different people, and some is for orphanages, and some for young people, and some for schools. God has an inheritance, a portion of spiritual inheritance and natural inheritance for all of God's people. Everybody but the 12th part, because it was one of the 12 tribes. But a good number, if not the majority, were given inheritance in this earth. And some people take that to say that the priesthood or the ministry shouldn't have anything to their name and inherit something in this earth. Well, you could take it any way you want to. But however it is, in your heart and in your spirit, we cannot have an inheritance down here other than the Lord. There are some people selected to have an inheritance in the Lord. And God's inheritance can only be enjoyed down here in earth as you are in His presence. Those are the people we call people of the presence. You see, these who had the inheritance of the Lord Himself were the only ones allowed to come into the very presence of God. They were the ones that were allowed to officiate right there where the Ark of the Covenant was. They were the ones that were allowed by God to come into His presence. Now, do people come into His presence? Yes. I think if you ask 100 people if they've ever felt the presence of God in their life, they would say yes. If you were to go to the place and be present when those people are experiencing the presence of God, you would scratch your head and think, is this it? Is this it? Because there's different experiences of the presence of God. But when I am talking about the presence of God, God says, at the mercy seat, I will meet with you. You remember when the children of Israel met, saw Moses go into the tabernacle and saw the cloud descend upon Moses there in the tabernacle. And they said that everyone stood at their tent doors and worshiped. They didn't worship Moses, they worshiped the Lord from their tent door. But it says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. There was dialogue, there was encounter, face-to-face encounters. This is what we have called the Penal Vision. This is what we have been given of the Lord, so different than so many other people. God allows us to have structure a little bit. God allows us to have as much structure as we can support. But our deal isn't big churches, and our deal isn't many people. Our deal is those who God has called with the same inheritance that He's given us, teach and train them how to come into the presence of God, to behold Him face to face, learning how to have unveiled faces, learning how to press through into a world of the Spirit, and knowing how to come into the world of reality, which is God. God is, that's why those that die and go to heaven and then come back again says that world is more real than ours. This is almost surreal. This isn't real at all. But yet, ask anybody that lives here in this world, this is the real one. Anything up there is just feelings, and maybe God's up there, but you don't quite see Him, and that's not for real. This is the real thing. But yet, when God separates the spirit from the body, and they stand up from the body, and they're in the world, they say that world is far more real than our world. even when they're looking at our world. People that have died in the hospital, that walk down the corridors of the hospital, they see even the walls are more real. You say, why? Because these walls prohibit you from seeing what's on the other side. But when you're in the spirit, you just look, you see that the wall is there, but you look through it almost like an x-ray. Have you ever noticed, those of you that have traveled by plane, have you ever noticed when they put your baggage through that machine, if you turn around and look back on the monitor, you're going to see that they see the case, but it's almost like transparent. It's there, but it's not there. You can see your things inside, but they're really not there. But they're all there. That's like it is in the spirit world. You can look through a wall. It's there. You can see that the wall's there. You know, it's there in place, but it's not necessarily so you can't see on the other side because you're seeing everything that's on the other side. It's more real. There's plants, there's flowers. Every plant that there is here and flower, anything in our vegetative world, is actually a replica of the real. But they say that the real is so real, the colors are more real. The life in it is more real. If you were to pluck a leaf off the tree, it's still there. You walk on the grass and it sings to you and tickles your feet and gives you a massage as you walk, but you leave no print. You pluck it, but it's still there and you still have it. You want a flower? No problem. Take it with you. You pick it, but when you pick it, it's still there and it's still here. That's weird. No, that's more real than this earth is real. We could go on describing paradise like this all night if we wanted to. But the thing is that it's far more real. It's more real than this life. Water is more real. In fact, can you imagine a world where just all the negatives aren't there? Where you can jump in the water and just enjoy the water, the feeling that water gives you, the refreshing that water gives you, and then come out and you're all dry? No need to soak, no need to wring out your clothes, no need for nothing. Now that's for real. You know, at the airport, you can go quite far by just walking a little bit because you've got this thing that's going much faster than you are. And so everybody's getting their exercise over there because they're getting on another plane and you're just going as fast as they are, just hardly walking because you have something taking you. Imagine that belt that you're walking on going as fast as you imagine to want it to go. So if you're just going like this, but you want to be in New York in a minute, you're in New York in a minute. Because that belt can go, I mean, you're going to feel some serious breeze in your face. You haven't left the earth. You're still walking. You're not flying. This isn't real. What I'm doing now, that isn't for real. That's just a replica of the real, but the real is real. How'd you like to ride a horse full out and don't need a saddle? Why? Because you don't feel him. That if 14 hands, let's say 6 feet, is where you meant to be, your horse could actually get out from under you and you keep galloping at 6 feet high. You don't fall. Fall is part of what happened from Adam and Eve on. There is no fall. There are no spills. The just shall fall 7 times here. There, the only falls are the water. The beautiful things. That's the lovely thing about all that world. That's the real world. That's our calling. Our calling is to live in the real world. That's why it's so hard for us when we have a church service and it just hangs in there in the space realm of the religious. It's like, ugh, boy, I need to go get washed here. Something happened. I'm not happy with this. It's like until we get into the real world, into the world that's real, till you're aware that your words are being taken up in heaven, you're aware that that victory already charged your soul. You're aware that God is speaking to you. You're aware that something is happening to you. You're aware that your praise is getting up there in heaven. You're aware that God is here and His presence is there breaking and molding your heart and giving you instruction. That's for real. With an open face beholding the Lord, our inheritance is that we were called into the world of the real. That's where we're going to go. Here have we no continuing city. Why would you want to stay here? This isn't our resting place. Every time I get discouraged, God gives me that word. Here have we no continuing city. This is going to destroy you. Don't stay here. This ain't your rest. Where's here? In the land of discouragement. In the land of negativity. In the land of devils. This ain't your home. Get up and leave. So, man, who knows how far heaven is? Well, how far is God anyway? You don't even have to walk to get there. He takes up residence in here. He takes up residence right here. So I can meet with him in the world of reality, face to face with the Lord. Speak to him and he speaks to us. His spirit is alive. Many times he'll let you just feel him inside like a woman can feel a child. It's for real. They know they're pregnant. They know they're not having a bellyache. It's for real. When they're pounding on you from the inside and your loved ones are pounding on you from the outside, it gets real. And so God lives in a world of reality and he's called us to a world of reality. That's our inheritance, reality. I like my inheritance. I really do. Sing two songs whether the Spirit's in it or not and anything got moved inside of me or not, and then we're going on to the next thing. Isn't real. Sorry, I can't live there. I was called. My inheritance is something else. When I go in there, I'm aware of a cloud. I'm aware of the glory of the Lord. I'm aware of his power. I step through that curtain and goosebumps come over my skin. Because it's real. Oh, I'm not talking about God, the goosebump God. I'm talking about the fact that it's real. That we know when we're just singing hallelujah, singing praise the Lord. Well, that's fine. You know, but save that for when you're taking a shower. We've been called into an inheritance that's far more glorious than that. God said, I'm your inheritance. Not just positionally that we sit with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's positional. He's not talking about a positional God. He's talking about a real God you can talk to face and feel him in your spirit. Again and again and again, I have felt his wonderful spirit just sitting in my chair looking out on the lake. Just his wonderful spirit just comes right through and through you and just start talking to him. Sometimes the depth of your speech with him goes so far inside, your inheritance becomes so real that you just tighten up and you're in that world where you can't say a word. You're just lost. You wonder if you breathe for 2 or 3 minutes at a time, like being underwater. And you're just there and then suddenly you remember, hey, I got to breathe here. But you're lost in the world so intense that God's checking you out and you're checking God out and you're there in his presence. You have one word to say, not one word to say. You're just enjoying God. I like my inheritance. It might not have big buildings. It might not have any steeples. It might not have 20,000 chairs. It might not have any landscaping. But I'll tell you one thing. We can start enjoying our inheritance while we're still on earth. Listen, don't other people? They get to enjoy their inheritance down here. They get to enjoy it. Do you think God's going to be mean to them and their inheritance is over with when they leave this earth? No, that's why he's got mansions in heaven. That's why he's got homes in heaven. That's why he's got lands in heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, those that are in love with the Lord, those whose heart pant after him, those in whom he's put a desire for him and nothing but him and don't care about power, they don't care about authority, they don't care about anything that this world has to offer, they don't care about money really except to live. Their heart isn't on lands and property and things and riches and anything else. But those who do, God's not going to disappoint them up there. There's plenty of money up there. There's plenty of gold. There's plenty of land to buy. Come, it's free. That's a good thing. There's plenty for what I need too. He is all I need. Plenty of him up there. We're all going to be happy. But that is our inheritance. That's why we have to press through. I don't want to wait till I die to enjoy any part of my inheritance. What is our inheritance? The Lord said to Moses, he said, all your family, I have picked out your family to give you an inheritance that's different than anyone else's. You won't inherit a part in this land. You'll be in a temple, but it won't be yours. You know how many churches I've built and none of them belong to me? How many houses I've built and none of them belong to me? How many things we've had, nothing belongs to you? But there's something I have had all my life that other people are envious of, and I'm glad for my inheritance. My lines have fallen in pleasant places. The Lord is our inheritance. As long as I have him, I'm happy. And that's not going to change. I didn't say that like, oh my, someday it's going to run out. Look, I don't know about houses and lands. Those might run out in an economical crisis. Food might even run out. But Jesus will never run out. Think of that song, Jesus never fails. My inheritance is incorruptible. Isn't yours? God has called us to an incredible inheritance. It's a little bit invisible while we're here. Do you know how many missionaries have left house and home and land and gone out there without nothing and come back 40 years later with nothing? But they have Jesus. And they have a world of souls that call them back on the phone thanking God that they came their way. Wow, what an inheritance. God has given us such a precious inheritance. Enjoy that inheritance. Because you know what? Everything else seems empty for us. It doesn't matter how well somebody paints it. It's just like, okay. Okay. But boy, can we come alive when Jesus steps in the room. Man, can someone figure out what's theirs right in a minute when the Lord comes there. When the Lord manifests His beautiful presence, when He unveils His face and we see Him face to face and enter into a world of reality, you would give anything that you had and owned for that moment with Jesus. I am so glad for my inheritance. You know, lately we've been talking and focusing on the Lord as the center of our life. That is our inheritance. God has given us an inheritance where we have Him. How many churches have you gone through, but you still have the same common denominator? Pastors' names have changed. Walls and steeples have changed. Locations have changed, but what has not changed for you? That expression of coming into His presence at home or there, wherever God takes you, one thing has not changed. He has not removed Him from you because He is your inheritance. He and the enjoyment of Him and the pleasures that He gives and His words of life, His words of grace, His words of anointing, His prophetic words, His directive words. The voice of His Spirit is something that when you begin to hear it, it picks your head up no matter what's going on in your life. It's heads up from that moment on. Lift up your heads, everlasting gates. Lift them up. Your King of glory will come in. That is our inheritance. Our inheritance focuses around Him. What difference does it make if we're under persecution and we meet in some cave somewhere? What difference does it make if we meet outdoors in some campaign crusade? What difference does it make if God puts us in a building, in a home, on the top of a pole where they put flags? What difference does it make if Jesus is there? Now, it would make a big difference to be hung up and strung up like a flag on a pole if we're not enjoying Jesus. He is our inheritance. The glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, is part of the inheritance of those that have been called unto Him. See, everybody thinks that the Lord has called them because they're Christians or because they accepted Christ into their heart. They think that they still have the same calling. That's not true. Everybody has a different calling. We have to respect different people's calling. I was just speaking with somebody today about someone that is in love with a different inheritance. Honey, I'll tell you what, when God puts inside of you, makes you one way, you can't be another. I know a lot of people that are very miserable in a place where some of you start grabbing for all that Kleenex. They don't understand it. They don't like it. They don't want it. And every time you come in, you're looking to make sure the Kleenex box is not too far from where you're sitting in hopes that you'll need it. And there's some people glad that they're in places where they don't have them and don't need them. Let me tell you something. If we went too far without needing them, you'd be pretty miserable. Because our inheritance is that of a broken and contrite spirit and that of tenderness before the Lord and face-to-face encounters with our God is part of our inheritance. It's how God made us. It's how we're done. You say, well, these are just habits that we've acquired in Panal. Well, okay. Is it any different than habits that the Baptists have? Is it any different than the habits Anglicans have acquired? Catholics? They go and do their ritual, but their ritual is different than our ritual. Why? Because God has called us to be different. Some inherited the highlands, some the lowlands, some the swamplands, some the farmlands, some the city lands. Some didn't inherit anything. You can have things that are transient. They have no meaning. Those kind of people that are called to Him, if anything in this life gets to have too much meaning for you, He's going to dry it up, honey, really fast. You're going to have a series of events happening in your life. You're going to wonder what in the world ever happened. This tornado just swept through and just wiped out everything that your heart was beginning to get fond with. Have you ever noticed that? Anything that gets too close to your heart, Mr. Tornado comes down the line. The Holy Spirit. You know, He's the whirlwind. He'll come in here, suck it right out of you. Your hair will just be straight up like this as He's sucking it out. You play around with covetousness and let something fool around with your heart till you get a nice feeling about money or something, man, you're setting yourself up for a suddenly. And then right behind it, the words of the Lord, there's no way I'm going to let you covet after that. Your heart's mine and mine is yours and you're my inheritance and I'm yours and that's it. And I made you for that. You know why we long and pant after God? Because He always has to ensure that He puts more desire in us than what we get, so we keep looking. We keep searching. Some people say, well, Lord, I'd like to find You because I just don't want this haunting desire anymore in my heart, this longing, this fainting, this what David called, my flesh and my soul longs after the living God. When will I find Him? When will His face unclear? About the time He clears it up and you say, oh, we arrived, He's gone. I heard Him knocking at the door. My heart panted. I went to the door and He was gone. She was out in the wilderness and out in the mountains saying to people, have you seen my beloved? I'm still looking for Him. He was just there. Yeah, but He has a way of being just there just long enough to make your heart grow fonder and really excite you to all kinds of things. And then suddenly, He's gone. Why does He do this? I keep wondering if in heaven it's going to be that way. You have Him, but you don't quite have Him. Do you think? No, that's just for us. You know why? Here. Aren't you glad it's just for here? Because we get too wayward here. We get to looking at what everybody else has and think maybe that's good. So God says, try it. And when we try it, everybody's smiling. Doesn't this taste good? And it's just like, huh? Wasn't that great? Yeah, okay. I just went to one of those meals just last Sunday. Wasn't that tremendous? Okay. Drive on the way home crying, said, Lord, I'm spoiled. I'm ruined. Hot dogs after juicy prime rib steaks just doesn't cut it. But I just said, Lord, I'm spoiled. Man, when somebody invites me to eat, there better be some food there. But you know what I also noticed? There was a lot of people very content with hot dogs. I couldn't believe how content people could be with that. And you know what the worst scenario was? They've tried steaks. They'd rather hot dogs. And the reason I use that example, because that makes a lot of sense to all of us. That's like in the world of the spirit. Religiousness just doesn't cut it. We may have a bad service, but you know what? That just makes us miserable enough to come and have a good one the next time. But to settle for that, not. Because God has given us an inheritance that's different than everybody else's. Thank God for that inheritance. And for what us is wonderful, don't try to make wonderful for everybody. You make them miserable. Make them miserable. Let them have their hot dog and get them happy. You sit down and eat your steak. Let them sit down and eat their hot dog and let's all be happy. Amen. Don't try to change them. And honey, they're not going to be able to change you. If you look around in the Christian world, find the ones that look most miserable. Those are the ones that have our inheritance. Because their inheritance is elusive. You almost have it and it's gone. And so we're always wanting. We're always hungry. We're always desiring. We're never quite fulfilled. How many can say that you've had hundreds of encounters with God in the last 20 years? I can. Okay, how many are satisfied tonight? We just made a point here, didn't we? So you just look around and the people that don't look the happiest at all, that's us. That's us. But guess who's going to be the happiest ones when we get there? And what we were called to is the center of the show up there. What feeds us is everywhere. The air you breathe. The life, the presence of God, glorious everywhere. Wait till we get out from the throne room and get to take a little bit of that to people who have never tasted before. Of something marvelous. Where there's no devils, no temptation, no sin, no corruption. Nothing to twist and warp people's minds. Nothing. And we bring Jesus. Oh my. We go to talk to a group of people that look like they're from some tribe. We didn't even know where they were on the earth. And we go in there and we present them their creator. The one that made them. The one that died for them. The one that loved them. And they're standing there or sitting there, maybe on the lawn of live grass, weeping. Maybe it's not the tears like we have here of sorrow, because those he wipes away. But a fondness, of tenderness, of love. God still bottles tears. That's just, I mean, why would somebody that was made eternal up there that loves to bottle tears be out of work suddenly because we all got to heaven? Our tears are just going to be different. They're going to be tears of gratefulness, tears of joy, tears of a heart that's just delighted with what's happening to them when his presence filled their heart. You know, a lot of people are going to want to meet Jesus like you would meet a human being. Well, hello, Jesus. I now see that you exist. That is so great. They're looking at a human Jesus. That wouldn't do anything for me. I don't care if he's got a Roman nose or if he's got a Catholic nose. It doesn't matter to me if he's got brown eyes or blue eyes. I don't care. I'm not in love with his flesh, with his form. I'm in love with his spirit. I want to see him in his glorified state. When I meet with him, I want that something that happens with me every time I meet with him to happen some more. We're addicted. You know, if you went into a hospital and stole the stuff that you're addicted to, you're a thief. But if you're a doctor and you go into the cabinet and take it, it's yours, have at it. You're perfectly licensed. Well, I'm licensed to have as much of Jesus as you can hardly take. I'm licensed to get as addicted as you can possibly get. I can get as much as I need to. I'm licensed with an inheritance given to me specifically, and I know what inheritance is mine. And I am so glad because I can have as much of this stuff as I want. Not need, want. It's addictive too. If you don't think so, just wait till God brings the people that are called into that inheritance into a place that's dishing out some of that inheritance, like Peniel, and you're ruined. You're ruined. Till you get another fix, you're in a bad way. You're miserable to live with. My dad used to say, I can tell the people that have ever been in a Peniel and met with God, they're the most miserable people out there. They're ruined. That's what he'd say. They're ruined for life. But we also have a license to get as high as we need to get. Huh? More ruined. Love will spoil you. You know that? Love will spoil you. We've had an awful lot of that in this church. But thank God I once heard somebody say, you can't get spoiled with too much love. And boy, do we all like to be loved by Jesus. I will finish by asking you a question. What's your inheritance? My inheritance is the Lord. Is yours?